Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in Brighton in the UK with Jack Manifold, YouTuber and streamer and guy. In this episode, we talk about what it was like to blow up online during COVID. We talk about his public beef with other creators, dating advice, straight pride, and a bunch of other stuff that you're going to hear very soon. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. Or don't, but just watch it either way, please. Well, Jack Manifold.
Hi, Koi.
Thanks for being here.
That's all right, Koi Piso 4. Koi Piso? Koi Piso 4?
That was one of my hairs on the microphone that you just took off.
It tickled me in the mouth.
Of course, and I left some all around your house as well for you to find.
Thank you very much. I'll have a nice little treasure hunt later.
Yeah, of course. And apologies today if I'm a little bit slow. I did go out with your girlfriend last night, as I often do on my weekends.
Of course.
Yeah, it was a good night. I saw you there.
I was there briefly, but then I left really early.
Actually, right when I got there, you were like, "I'm gonna go."
This was unintentional. I'd been out individually from my girlfriend. I'd been out with my friend Justin. Mm-hmm. We're having a great time. I'm going home. Eleanor says, "Oh, I'm at Wetherspoons. I'm at Spoons." I go, "Oh, great, excellent. I'll come join you." Mm-hmm. Fucking mistake. Wetherspoons on a Friday night in the middle of Brighton on a nice summer's day. Was hell.
And for American listeners, Wetherspoons is basically like Applebee's, except it's really bad.
I've never had Applebee's to sort of scale this.
It's like Applebee's is like our, like, you get cheap drinks and it's like,
sure,
it's not great quality. But like Wetherspoons, I feel like, is worse quality, but it's more about the drinks.
It's very much about the drinks. I'd say the food is really secondary.
And there's no music as well.
No, but there's the news.
There
is the screens of the news.
Yeah, like the economy actually crashing in the Wetherspoons on a Friday night.
It was something else. It was a big Friday, and they're just every once in a while I see a picture of Trump's face with "everything is wrong." And
yeah, I'm like, I think it's to encourage you to buy more drinks.
Maybe that probably was effective. Actually,
I think it was working on me as well.
Maybe I believe that.
Well, so what's your like ideal Friday night then? Going to Wetherspoons for 30 minutes and then leaving early, or
no? Well, I felt very ill last night.
Okay,
I felt badly, man. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I hadn't even drank that much, mm-hmm. but I just didn't feel right. And I left, and I came, and I sat on this sofa, mm-hmm. and like rotted for like 30 minutes watching like obscure YouTube videos.
Right.
Then I played. You seen that game Schedule One?
No.
It's about selling drugs. I played that.
Okay.
I played a game where you sell drugs for about 30 minutes.
What drugs did you sell?
Weed, marijuana. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Weed / marijuana, yeah.
Weed, marijuana. Some people even call it the Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then meth, I was also selling. I've recently developed the facilities to cook and sell meth.
It's nice to expand on your hobbies and kind of dive into them deeper.
It really feels nice. It's a real business now. I got staff and everything. It's quite impressive. Wow. But I played it for like too long.
Uh-huh.
I sat down and played it for like 3 hours before you guys got home.
Wow.
And then I went to bed like 1:30 a.m. You guys still aren't home, by the way.
Right.
That's crazy, mm-hmm. by the way. I got here at 9.
I got here
at 9:30.
Wow. I got here at 3:30.
Exactly. And I'm... Yeah. So until 1:30, from 9:30 to 1:30, I played this drug game. Uh-huh. I played it so much, I had fever dreams of selling drugs all night.
Really?
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Does that feel... I just looked at like a Breaking Bad.
I have a lot of Breaking Bad stuff in here. I do.
I feel like you might have found your calling. This
selling
right for you.
Drugs? Which one? The weed? The meth? Which?
The Mary of them. Jane?
Mary Jane? I completely forgot
about
that.
I prefer that term for it. It makes me feel really cool.
I do like calling it the Mary Jane because it reminds me of Spider-Man.
Oh.
Who's your favorite superhero?
You know, when I was a teenager, I used to say Ant-Man.
What, were you just like...
I think
that
I just
picture
wanted
is like, I think I just, make sure I don't fit in. Like.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Well, I also think because I was like, he's small and he's powerful. And I...
that's not, that's
and
good,
like,
that's
and
empowering.
I was like, that's me. Well, also, I just love Paul Rudd. But,
sure.
Ant-Man isn't great. I think it's got to be Spider-Man.
I think mine's got to be Spider-Man as well. I think he's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
People that fuckers be like Superman, and it's like, okay.
You know, you were talking about your dream last night. I had a dream last night that I had a near-death experience.
Mm.
To the point where, like, I, like, remember, like, being revived in the dream, like, in the hospital. Like, I, wow. It was one of those stories where, like, I could have, if this were real life, I would have had some kind of story about what the afterlife was like.
Oh, you know, for real? But in the dream, what did you experience? Did you experience anything in the dream, at least?
I just experienced, like, being really sad, like, that, like, I was, like, no, like, that I was ceasing to exist. And then I woke up this morning kind of with a new lease on life. Like,
that's
I was,
good.
I was, like, I kind of a new, like,
that's
I,
good.
I feel like I had a near-death experience.
That's what you get through sleeping here, man.
And you sold drugs.
And I sold drugs. I don't even know. I was, like, panicked. I was, like, having anxiety and stuff. I'm, like, my clients are asking for too much. I don't have that much supply.
My near-death experience was going out with your girlfriend and making it back here safe and sleep and crashing on your couch.
Mm.
I felt messy last night.
I wasn't
home,
there
coming
for
home
you.
From a night out to crash on someone's couch and then film a podcast the next day. I was like, what's happening?
Is that
to
not
me?
How it usually goes?
It is.
Okay.
But it.
So surely you're used to this by now.
I am. But it's new people every time.
You didn't even have the water. I left you a little water.
That was for me?
That was for you. I set up your bed before I got on the computer, and I thought I'll leave him a little water just in case he needs a little drink.
You should have put, like, I felt like it was, if I break the seal, it's like $8 charged to the room.
No, it's complimentary.
Okay, well, wait, you didn't. What's your ideal Friday night then?
Oh yeah, cool. I don't, you know, I think just a different pub would be enough for me.
Right,
just not Spoons. Okay. I think if I went. I'm not going to name them because I don't want any of you lot showing up to my favorite pubs. It really puts me off
right. When
viewers sort of... Sorry, I was sat really far away. And I looked
okay.
to the camera and I felt really awkward. I just hate when I have to see my viewers. So I thought, God forbid they show up to any of the pubs I like.
Yeah.
So that's all I'll say. That or... I know, I'm getting to be a night in sort of guy.
I think I had my ideal night out last night.
Do you think?
Well, it's because we got to the club and I was in line.
Where did you guys even go? I don't even know.
We went to Green Door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That, I mean, admittedly, as far as Brighton clubs go, that is decent.
It was all right. And it was 90s versus thousands night.
Mm.
And so, like, it was good music. So, okay, I was in line to get a drink and this guy was talking to me and he was like, what
a flirtatious guy.
A little bit of a flirtatious guy. It's Green Door, okay? Like, Green Door is like...
Well, yeah, what do you mean by
there's,
that?
Okay, there's the gay club
there
in
is,
Brighton. There's Revenge.
There is
and
Revenge.
They're playing, like, a bunch of, like, Just Dance kind of music.
It's very... It is,
it's like your Katy Perry, your Chapel Rowan.
It's what playing. I imagined a gay club would be.
Yes.
Like, I went in, I was like, yep, this is about right.
Yes. And then Green Door is like... It'll play like Sabrina Carpenter, but then it'll also play like Joy Division or The Smiths.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
And so you have like not the gays who are like wearing, you know, the Converse with stickers on them, but they're wearing like their brown dress shoes and like a loose tie.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So it's like, oh yeah, we're gay, but we're tasteful about it. There's this like, there's this classiness to it. Anyway, so. I think that I am like I would be a product of the other like the Just Dance gay club, but it's like when I want to find like I need someone who goes to Green Door, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, is that what you're looking
opposites,
for?
Opposites attract.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's my type. Is just someone in
Green
a club.
Door. Wow. Then
someone
yeah.
in a club that gives me attention is my type. Yeah.
I believe that.
So this guy he's like he's just talking to me a little bit and he's like, so what are you getting to drink and. It's like double vodka orange one of those nights. He turns around, he orders his drink. He turns around, hands me a double vodka orange.
Wow.
He takes his shot. We cheers, he takes his shot. He leaves.
Oh.
Bought me a drink, no strings attached, left.
It's nice. It's kind.
That was my ideal night out. So you got your start, blew up during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Like blowing up during such a time where like everyone's on the internet, you know, was it like, I feel like that really affects how you start your career and how probably your career is today as well.
Probably. It's hard because I suppose I don't have much perspective, right? Because I only know it that
right.
way. I mean, yeah, it was just very, it's very quick and intense. Mm-hmm. It sort of like happened like not overnight, but comparatively to like people that work for years, like
yeah.
I sort of. I remember like with the YouTube, Twitch obviously was a different story, but with YouTube, like I started the channel and like 6 months later or possibly even less, it had like 1 million subs.
Wow.
And that's like, it's cool, but I'm not like even trying to pat myself on the back saying like I did all, I think it was also like a hugely a product of its time and the community that I was in that it grew so fast. And obviously like I have to work towards that, but I also do think that like having now started new channels since then and having a better idea of how things grow sort of more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that was crazy. But it, what it possibly did is gave me a bad idea of what's normal.
Yeah.
So like when it all slowed down, which of course it did because everyone like got lives again, I was like, damn, I fell off, bro. And just like the whole time, I just like blame myself. And it's like, no, it's just like the world changed.
Yeah.
But that was a weird thing to get used to. That was the main thing. I think it was the, it wasn't during it. During it, I was just like, this is the bet. Like the whole time. It was when it went away that I was like, what did I do wrong? And it's like, the answer was nothing. I just saw the world change.
Yeah, that's a very dramatic way to like learn that lesson that I feel like every content creator has to learn, which is like the peaks and the valleys of,
you
know, not getting caught and not writing that, but you had such a dramatic
it was like a real peak and then like a what felt to be like this huge valley. And realistically it just wasn't like I've still maintained a fucking career like even in that valley point, and then I've had new peaks, new valleys, and like the whole time. So I live with Scott Smajer. When I first moved out of my parents' house, I moved in with Scott.
I thought you meant right now. I was like,
That's not him. That's my girlfriend.
Okay.
He always said that he's like, it's like things will come and go.
Yeah.
He'd been doing it however long he'd been doing it at that point. I think he's been doing it over 10 years now.
I think, when I was a kid before.
Yeah. And
he taught me some of my first words.
I'm surprised you have like some fucked up Scottish accent, like some weird hybrid.
It went Dada, Mama, LD Shadow Lady.
But he always said, it's peaks and valleys. And I sort of tried to believe him. And it's only like now, a few years down the line, that I'm like, oh, he was very correct. Like it just constantly ups and downs, like in terms of views and fucking relevance, if you want to say that, you know?
Right. Content creation isn't necessarily a hard job, but I feel like the mental part of it
absolutely is. The work is easy, but like trying your best, and this is what I'm really working again with the podcast that me and Tom do, we have like a team around us who sort of manage a lot of it. That's been really good because its success doesn't feel as tied to my self-worth,
because
that's like a really easy thing you do. You sort of, because we're sort of social creatures, we sort of go like, ah, all these people love me, great, and you sort of really like derive self-worth from it, and then it all disappears because it isn't like actual like social stuff. It's just entertainment and views and blah blah blah,
right?
And you sort of go, ah, none of my like my friends let me know. Like it, as much as that sounds silly, you sort of attach some self-worth to it.
Yeah.
And I think this time around with the channels that I've started sort of within the last year, maybe just over now, trying to not attach my self-worth and just see them as like work and sort of projects, sort of trying to derive life meaning from like living life.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot more time sort of trying. I'm still getting there. Like Eddie Burback, I don't know if you saw this, Eddie Burback did a video where he like put his phone in a safe for 30 days.
I did see that.
And I was like, dude, I want to do that. Yeah. But I thought about it. I went, actually, I just probably just want to delete Twitter. So I did that instead. And I did like 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And that's been an interesting thing.
I've had Twitter off my phone since last summer.
Most people did. I couldn't do it.
It feels really good. As well,
I think it'll get that right now. My whole thinking with the Eddie thing, the thing that pushed me over the line was he was like, I don't think I've ever been bored in my adult life because I've had this thing that can entertain me all the time. And I was like, I'd probably come up with better ideas if I was bored, because I think the boredom would just lead me to thinking more creatively. And I was like, okay, cool, I should be bored more. So I've been trying to find excuses to be bored. So far, I've not been very good at it. So far, I've managed to entertain myself for the past few days.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping soon I'll start getting bored, which is a weird thing.
The thing was, like, we spent so much time, like, during COVID, we had all the entertainment in the world that we possibly could have needed. But, like, because that was all we had, that eventually became boring. And so we had to, like, find ways to do stuff. And that's why there was such like a big creative breakthrough for so many people.
Exactly.
Because we were finally bored of the thing that's keeping us entertained for so long.
And I felt like I was at my most creative then. And ever since then, it's sort of like, you know, like I definitely want to like feel like I'm having better ideas again. So I thought that's been my thing. But I want to strip it back more. I still think that this thing's like still too good. I also need to delete the YouTube app because I deleted all that and then remembered YouTube Shorts exists.
Oh.
I know. That's been my thing.
There's always something. You're going to get onto like Facebook.
No, I deleted Facebook. I saw that coming.
Okay.
I saw that coming. I went, no, Facebook's going, man. I'm going to end up on Snapchat. That's what I'm, oh God, actually, oh, Minecraft YouTuber. Never mind.
No. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to delete it now.
No, yeah.
Right now, on this podcast.
I've been trying to get to a point where I don't need to take my phone out of the house. Like, I'd love to be able to, like, take... Like, I've gotten a digital camera, and I have, like, little notebooks that fit in my pocket as well. Because that's the other thing, is I love to be able to write things down at any time.
I get that.
But, like, being able to, like, think for myself is such a big thing. And, like, not feel like... even, like, when you're not using your phone, just having it on you, you are constantly reminded that, like... Like there is the option of like everything,
yeah.
As opposed to what's right in front of your fingertips,
and like that, it's so strange. I feel like it's really strange that as a society we've gotten to the point where we like resent that. Mm-hmm. Like that's weird. Like, imagine like you go to the like fucking 1930s and you're like you put the world at your fingertips, and they're like what, and then they probably get stressed out about like women having rights. But like you know, before that they'd be shot by the phone.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that we've gotten to a point where like now. Like, we're like, ah, that's actually a bad thing. It's, like, bad to have that much information all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, who would have predicted that? Who could have possibly predicted that we'd turn around and be like, this is actually bad? Because it sounds good. Like, on paper, like, having all that information just at your fingertips.
Actually, it was, I think, me. I was the first one to call it.
Did you say it?
When they started to do the iPhones, I was like...
This is too far.
This one isn't gonna... I looked at it and I went, ooh...
I that actually remember your hurt. Open letter to Steve Jobs.
Yeah, yeah. I said, dear Steve, ooh, that one's going to hurt.
But the problem is he thought you were talking about, obviously, the, he's not about no more, is he, Steve?
Steve Jobs is dead.
Steve Jobs has been dead a little while.
Wait, what happened to him? Wait, I'm being actually serious. I didn't know Steve Jobs was dead.
You didn't know Steve Jobs was dead?
No, I don't keep up with the billionaires like you do.
I would... I would say I'm like an avid, you know. Like,
and I'm sorry that one of your idols passed away like that.
Dude, Steve was my fucking icon, man. He was really rude on emails, and I thought, shit, I should start being more nasty to people on emails. Because maybe I'd be a billionaire too. But yeah, no, he died. He died of cancer. This is really crazy. Yeah, this is the thing that actually really gets me about that. He's obviously like, he's a bit of like a fucking genius. He sort of co-founds Apple, and he makes it this huge company. And then he gets cancer. And like, the reason he dies isn't, because it was like some fucking, I mean, cancer's cancer, it's bad, but like, it was probably quite curable, but he went like completely homeopathic and was like, no, I'm just going to eat some herbs. And he just dies because he refuses to get like chemo. He just like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to eat some fruits.
The apples.
Good. It was quick. I'm jealous. I'm really jealous that you came up with that quick.
I mean, you handed it to me.
No, but I really did. I wasn't even trying. I wasn't saying that. I didn't even think. It was good. It was good stuff.
Well, sorry, Steve. Oh, wow. You have a... I didn't see you have a creator class trophy.
I do.
That's incredible. I was there. I watched your fight.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were there.
That's how
we
I met...
We probably saw each other, but I got punched in the head a lot that night. So, like, I have very sort of, like... There's a lot of people that will... I think I'm meeting them. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh no, we met at Creator Clash. I'm like, yeah, we might as well not have done. I sort of was like, not fully there.
Yeah, I can imagine like getting beat up.
Beat up. I beat him up. I just got a little bit of, you know, a little bit on the way.
The problem is I don't know the other guy. And so I can't picture his face.
Dakota.
Dakota Olave. Olive. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
He looks kind of like how Ninja used to look. Mm. Or he did at the time. I think he's changed his style. But at the time, he looked...
Oh, wait. Okay, I can picture him now.
Yeah.
I can picture... Did he have blue hair?
Yeah, he did. Fortnite Ninja.
Yeah. Okay. Because you want to beat someone up. You've told me this before. You want to beat someone up unless they had blue hair.
And pronouns?
Yeah.
I don't know if he did, actually. I didn't even check. I was so eager.
You fought him without knowing his pronouns?
You keep saying him, so I mean, like, I'm just guessing.
No, you're right.
yeah, maybe he wasn't woke enough.
Yeah,
I only fight the woke mind virus.
That's good. Tubbo was about to fight the woke mind virus. Well, he was gonna fight.
Oh my god, he was gonna fight Dean Withers. Yeah, that is woke mind virus incarnate. So woke.
Wow.
One woke team. That's what they called him in the Jubilee video. One woke team versus 20 Trump supporters.
Are you going to Creator Clash this year then?
I think so. Because it's just after VidCon. So I think what I'll do is I'll do a big US adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I'll experience the great highs of America, such as Los Angeles and Florida.
Right. That's going to be great. Well, speaking of Great American Adventure, you went on tour last year.
I did. I'm about to go again.
Wow. Yeah. You went on tour with Tom last year.
I did.
How long were you on tour?
About 2 months.
Yeah, so you were, was that America the whole time?
Yeah, that one was.
Wow.
Yeah, long time out there.
Yeah, what was your favorite place in America?
Ooh, that's tough. I really like Texas.
Really?
I like it. I like Austin a lot.
Really?
Like not much, the rest of it's could be a bit touch and go, but I think Austin, Texas is really fun.
Okay.
But mainly I've had a few good times out there. I've sort of known enough people that they've shown me around, I've had a good time. And like Maya Higa has Alveus Animal Sanctuary, and I love animals. So I like going there and stuff. Oh, Boston was good too. Speaking of New England, I liked Boston.
Yeah? I thought that Boston is like as similar as you can get to the UK and the US.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's
I would say so.
It's like cloudy. It's overcast and there's like everyone's kind of day drinking there. It's a little dirty.
Those weren't the reason. I was just more thinking sort of in the architecture, but that, you know,
yeah,
the buildings are sort of older, the streets are sort of older.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like most US cities because they're all like fucking newer buildings. But that, I suppose, you also have a point. I didn't try Dunkin' when I was there, though. Apparently, I have to have Dunkin' Donuts when I'm there.
You didn't try Dunkin'?
I mean, I've had it before, but I didn't try it in Boston, which is obviously, you know, apparently.
Oh yeah, they love it there.
Yeah,
they
Boston runs on it, I hear.
America runs on it.
Do they really?
That's what they've been saying. Wow. I don't know if America's really running well these days. Maybe they just need some Dunkin'.
I would put him down as the Dunkin' type too.
You think so?
I think he's the type of guy that enjoys a Dunkin'. He put a Diet Coke button in the White House. I think a Dunkin' is not out of question for him.
I'm trying to imagine him with a. Oh, do you know? You probably don't know Casey's General Store.
Not really. I've heard of it. I've driven past. I think of Macy's. I've driven past a Macy's.
I think that he would get like a big like styrofoam cup of just like crushed ice. And just
I thought he was going to like
the lid and then like.
I thought like lean, bro. I thought he was like double cup in the lean.
No, just ice. Just chewing ice. You ever seen someone do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. On a hot day, I get it. I do it today. I'm like a little sick. It's warm.
Uh-huh.
I definitely could. Crunch on some ice. Yeah.
So what should I expect from this tour then? Because I'm going to be on it for like a week or so.
Oh, yeah. You're coming with for a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, are you filling in for me when I'm home? Because I come home, Ellie's sister's getting married. So I'm coming home for a week. When do you join?
April 30th.
Yeah. You're doing it while I'm gone. So you're my replacement.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect yet. I've not done it. This is you've done a run through, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not.
Right.
I leave in 9 days and Tom's gone. I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't think I'm getting a run through before I do it for real.
No, you're just going to show up and do it.
Which I'm, look, I'm a professional.
Okay.
Yep.
I felt like you were trying to convince yourself more than me.
No, I've been doing this a long time, man. Four years full time I've been doing this. Nearly five.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's been my only source of income for 4.5 years.
You have any plans to retire soon?
No, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever retire. Do you think you'll retire one day? Like full? I think I'm always going to have to do something or I'll freak out.
Yeah, I think that that's the same for me as well. If I retire, I'm going to like, I'd have to like start a new life somewhere.
Where do you think you'd go?
Maybe to like France, and then I'd teach like some kind of like string art class.
String art?
Yeah, you know where you like hammer the nails in and then you like
I can't sound familiar with it.
The strings in between.
Is this like
it.
A passion of yours?
I think it's like a fad from like 2015 maybe.
Okay.
I think that I would love to teach a class if I retire.
I think you would do well in France.
Yeah?
I think you would. I think for some reason you would really integrate well into the culture.
I just kind of said a random thing.
No,
They don't like Americans there, do they?
They don't like anyone there, but I think you could potentially have an equal energy to the French.
Okay.
I think you could match their energy.
What's their energy is just they don't like anyone.
Yeah, but I think you could. I think you'd integrate well into that. I think some you can do that. You can put your walls up.
They're up.
Yeah.
Don't you even worry about it.
I know.
Okay.
I know. You're a hostile guy.
Thank you so much.
I'm joking. It's a pleasure to have you here in my house.
Right. You're just scared that I'm gonna get hostile.
No. I'll tell you what, you've been brazen in your stay here. Ellie obviously gave you the spare key. So you've just been in and out of the house.
True. I've made myself at home, really.
I was shocked. I sort of came down after my shower this morning to sort of like say, oh, you're right, Coy. I came in here, you weren't here. And I was like, I knocked on the bathroom door, you're not in the bathroom. I go down to the living room, you're not there. I'm like, where the fuck is this guy? I check every room in the house, you're gone. I text you, you're like, oh yeah, I nipped out.
Yeah, I was just going to get some coffee.
That's fine. I suppose you're not a prisoner. I've never had anyone stay and just like come and go. It was weird. It really, I didn't mind it. In fact, I actually quite enjoyed the sort of like, I felt less pressure to host when you just sort of come and go as you like. But it was weird. I think it's very American though.
Yeah.
I think when I stay with like I've stayed with Schlatt a few times and every time it's sort of like, yeah, just do what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's more, if I were to like have to check in with you to do a bunch of things, then it would make you feel, it would make
I'm not saying check
stressed.
In. I'm not saying like check
no,
in.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never known anyone just do, but I think, but you know what? You shouldn't have to check in, but I think people do.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of came to expect it, and then you were just gone, and I was like, okay.
I think part of it
I thought you bailed, I'll be honest. I thought you really were just like, I'm not doing that fucking episode. I was like, okay.
I just stole a few of your things. I was like, I'll sell them online, make the money instead.
Hey, I'm missing some stuff at the moment. You might have done.
Yeah.
I mean, you only came here today, and I've been missing them for like a week, but still, you're on my culprit list now.
See, that's how I get you, though. I come in a week before. I scope out the area.
How long have you been in the UK now?
Since March 4th.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been about a month.
Do you think you'd ever move here?
I don't know. I don't think so. I really like it here, but I like it being an escape from America.
Sure, but I just think it's getting dire out there. It's getting dire out there.
It is. But yeah. Like...
Could be your rights next.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, maybe I need a challenge.
Do you think you would thrive in an environment where you were... Where you were fighting for your rights?
No, I'm kind of glad my ancestors got to do that.
In it,
the whole Stonewall thing. I don't even think I could throw a rock. Have you seen me?
True. Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm not, and I wouldn't consider myself the prideful type either.
Would you not?
No.
I'm not shocked by that. Sorry, I don't know why my tone was so surprised.
You were like, oh, I've seen how you walk. That's weird.
No, not at all. I wouldn't say, I just, you know, I think you're great. There was never a time I questioned, you know, I thought it was quite apparent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's.
But is not wearing that pride in itself?
I guess it's just being myself. Which I guess is the whole thing of pride.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, man. I think you're somewhat. I think you're prideful. I think you're putting yourself down. Damn it.
You know what? Thanks. I think I needed that, and I think so did you. You gained a few ally points there.
Did I gain ally points? Yes. I'm always trying, man.
Yeah, I don't think I'd move here. Because it's nice to have an option to get away from America, and I have like a community here, and it's like similar enough but different enough. And
sure.
And I like the US. I think it's really beautiful. I mean, like, I think
what do you like about it?
I think it's hilarious, first of all. I think it's just the funniest.
This is
place
a
ever.
Bad starting point, Corey. Like, that's a real bad to be like, my country is quite funny.
Yeah.
Is bad.
I think it has a great history.
It has about 200 years of it. Every other
and
nation
it's all
on
bad.
Earth. has like
bad.
Thousands of years of history, and you pick the one with like a couple hundred.
It feels like the kids' table. You know what I'm talking about?
It's a weird. I'll be honest, America is definitely because it's in this weird spot where it like is like the pretty much the only global superpower other than like China nowadays. It was for a time like the only global superpower, and it just like it had hardly existed. Like, how did it do it? I'll be honest, it's a generational run.
Beginner's luck.
Maybe it is. Maybe
and it's wearing
is
off.
It.
It's wearing off currently.
It does seem like it. I reckon you're still lucky because I reckon anyone else tried this and it would have been even worse.
Sometimes I'm in the UK and then I think about the US and I get like, it's like war flashbacks.
Oh, You think we're oppressing you again?
No, I just like remember that the U.S. exists. It's like being in Weatherspoons and then Trump's on the TV.
Oh,
and I'm
sure.
Like, oh, right.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
The thing I'm escaping.
Sorry, I thought you meant you were like thinking back to the fucking Revolutionary War.
No,
you get like real prideful about it. We fucking won.
Yeah, our first W.
Was that your first dub?
I think so. I mean, it, to my knowledge.
Yeah, might
like,
be.
Who am I? I'm just a guy who's watched Hamilton.
I've also seen Hamilton.
I need a tattoo that says that. Who am I? I'm just a guy who watched Hamilton.
That would hit. You really nailed sort of like millennial. You really get the generational cringe. Like, you know when you did like that fucking Gen Z TikTok thing?
Yeah.
Like, you nailed it. You've understood generational cringe to a degree that I think... And you get it for every generation. It's quite a... What drew you to that?
I love cringe humor. I've always loved it since I was a kid. I think that like YouTubers like Pupinia Stewart, who does the like, do you know who that is?
Pupinia?
Yeah. Where she has the like minion and she's like crying about how she hates minions. It's like that girl in her room on her webcam. And
oh,
I think that you
no,
I think you
I have seen it. No,
yeah,
no, okay,
yeah, yeah. She's like crying, she's throwing it. And then like, not to bring her up, but like Miranda Sings, I really loved when I was a kid.
Sure,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. She was definitely.
Or like Julian Smith had that like Jeffrey Dallas character. And
Julian
like,
Smith.
He made a lot of old YouTube stuff.
Sure.
But a lot of, I really liked a lot of characters and I liked the idea of just like, playing something that isn't yourself,
sure.
You know? And then I loved watching cringe compilations when I was younger. I love how ridiculous the rules of the internet are. Of like,
right.
Like there was a time where like you couldn't use a laughing emoji. And that's still
oh,
kind
that
of
was
today.
Like cringe. That's still sort of kicking around. Everyone's doing the crying emoji.
Yeah, and there's like this unspoken language and you can just like kind of break the rules of it and it like really sets people off. And like
that is interesting. That's a very fascinating point.
It's really, really fun. And also you can break the rules of it. Like, okay, for example, I was at a housewarming party the other day.
Yeah.
Lots of millennials at this housewarming party.
Sure.
And then I had like, it was like me and Harry and Tom were there as well. And so.
Oh, I know which one this is.
Yes. And,
sure. I was like, where the f*** were you? I was supposed to be there, but I got stranded in Japan.
That's the fun thing about couch surfing is I'll just end up at someone's house party and not
sure.
Know anyone. But like there were a bunch of millennials there and I could say stuff like, you know, the only thing better than Friends, season 8 of The Office. And just to trigger them.
It just hit?
Yeah.
Did it hit?
Well, no, they'd be like, really? Season 8? That's like the worst season.
I don't know The Office well enough to know.
It has that's after Michael Scott leaves.
Oh.
It's like huge fall off like
okay.
of the show.
Sure.
And like I've never seen Friends. Like I don't know anything about Friends, but I just know millennials to their core. And it was just so much fun to be like, I really like Hufflepuffs, but I'm not really sure about Ravenclaws. And they're like, what about Ravenclaws? They're like clutching clutching their like I solemnly swear tattoo, like shaking.
God, I forget about these like aspects of like millennial culture. I think that's what gets me. It's like you've really nailed the like you've remembered all their pop culture references. I think it's so funny.
I have two older sisters as well.
Oh, sure,
so,
that does help. I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, I mean, they grew up in the like the Hunger Games, Percy Jackson, kind of like that early internet.
I sort of was into all that, but I was like young, where like then I had a chance to move on.
Yes, but they like, were like teenagers, and
so they don't
that.
Move on. They
yeah.
like they keep it into adulthood.
Yeah,
in a way, like what are we gonna keep? Fucking Big Chungus? Like I don't know, man. I was a big Roblox kid.
Yeah,
but like I think the problem is that, you know, because it's still around, it doesn't have that chance to have that. I feel nostalgic about what like early Roblox.
Yeah,
but like. It's still kind of there.
Yeah.
So it's a weird one where like, and because there's still kids that actively play it, it sort of forced me away where I'm like, I can't be a Roblox head. There's still like 9-year-olds that are the same way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's like one of the only video games I play. I play Minecraft and Roblox.
I fucking love Roblox. I'm going to say, I don't play much Minecraft. The Minecraft movie got me back into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Gave me that little nostalgia push. And I was like, I need to play a bit more Minecraft. But Roblox, I like never lose the love. It's so versatile, right?
Yeah.
So you never get bored of it.
And you can just like hop on with friends and it's like, it's low commitment as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah, I used to play so much of that. My God.
You went to the Minecraft movie premiere?
I did.
How was that?
It was great. I had a great time. I thought it was a really fun movie. The reviews are coming out now. People aren't as fun. But I thought it was quite apparent everyone who made it just really enjoyed themselves.
Right.
And like, it's not going to fucking win an Oscar. I'll be honest, some of the moments I've just really like nothing burgers. But like, Jason Momoa and Jack Black are very funny together. And it works. And I thought the Minecraft references are like, it never feels majorly out of touch to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like it gets the community it's going towards. There's a couple of times you go, but
it's like when you're watching like your little cousins play.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
You like, you kind of have a little bit of a connection to it. So it's like, it's fun. It's not going to get, if the critics come in, it's not going to, it's not going to fare well, but.
There's a thing I call premiere blindness, where if you go to the premiere of a movie, I tend to find, I've been to the premiere of a few bad films and I always feel like I give them a little bit more slack because I've been to this whole event. And everyone seems so excited. You sort of come away and like, you want to like it because you went. I mean, for the microphone, it was a whole weekend.
Yeah.
So I kind of really want to like the movie. So I must say, I probably had like some like rose-tinted premiere goggles because I've had that with like other, like I watched fucking Rebel Moon. Yeah. I interviewed Zack Snyder beforehand. He's like telling me like, dude, this I care about this movie. I'm like, all right, I'm ready, Zack. And then it was fucking steaming turd. It was like so bad.
So you have your podcast with Tom.
I do. Shut up, I'm talking.
Yeah. How's that been going for you?
It's great. I fucking love it. I don't know about you. I think the podcasting stuff is like the easiest.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It feels like you can be the most yourself.
Yeah.
It's very free flowing. Like, it doesn't feel, you know, like with the rest of YouTube and Twitch, there's that whole like retention, like Mr. Beastification, where it's like, I've got to make sure no one clicks out. You know, you feel like you constantly have to be doing something.
There's
like with this, I'm just like, I just got to chat.
I was just thinking of, isn't there like a leaked clip of you where you're like trying to do an intro over and over again or something like that? Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
That's what I'm thinking of, like YouTube versus podcast, is like YouTube, you're like carefully choosing your words and like having to like restart what you're saying over and over.
Yeah.
This is just like you hit start and
you just go. And it's great. I really like this as an experience. And it gives me opportunity. Sorry, to talk about things that I usually wouldn't
get emotional. It's okay.
Thank you very much. It's good to feel that this is a safe space. Yeah, I think it gives you opportunity to talk about things you wouldn't usually. Because there's certain things that like you couldn't make a whole video about. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're not important enough, but you want to get off your chest. I think working it into a sort of more free-flowing conversation is great. I really, really love it.
Yeah.
And we have a great $7 Patreon, which is paying our bills. So that also really helped in That's terms nice. Of our enjoyment.
$7 for a Patreon? Wow. Okay, sorry to interrupt the episode. I just was kind of appalled by Jack's greed for his fans' own money, you know? So I thought that now would kind of be a good time to take a break. But I guess while I have you here, have I ever told you about my Patreon? I have? Okay. So you already know about the bonus solo episodes that come out every other week? And the Discord that's patron exclusive that gives you access to the community Minecraft server? Yes? Okay. Then I won't bore you with a Patreon promo. Then we can just get back to the episode. But it is a great way to support the show, and it is $5 a month, which is way different than $7. Right? Patreon.com/KoiPiso. Go there. Please. Have you found any like challenges in it, or is it?
This is the first time. So we have a team for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe for Tom this isn't as unfamiliar, but for me it is. I've always sort of been like, it's basically me and an editor, and that's been it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm the one who does the thumbnails and the titles. I fucking review the video, you know, like I do everything. Where with this, we have a producer and we have a, you know, like a channel manager, and like basically like I just show up and film,
mm-hmm.
and then like I sort of advise on the title and advise on the thumbnail.
Right.
But that's basically it. Like, I don't even know how well an episode's done most. Like, I'm very disconnected.
That's nice.
Which is nice, but it's like also weird because every once in a while I'll be like, is this fucking thing even doing? Like, I have no clue. Like, I actually don't know how it's doing.
Yeah.
I do more so recently, but like at the start, when it first started, I had like no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very weird. But I found a good balance now where I sort of like check in on it like once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just see how it's sort of going.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's anything we need to sort of develop and then move on. I've taken the sort of, I'm sort of coordinating a lot of strategy. That's my thing. I'm the strategist. I'm trying to make that fucking podcast big. I'm trying to make it the next big thing.
Right.
So if it doesn't happen, it's my fault.
Well, I've been hearing about it.
I think some of the clips are popping off. I got a little update the other day. We got a couple of milli views on the TikTok. I'm like, damn. Huge. We still got the source.
I'm starting shorts for this podcast.
You should. It's the way forward. I know from my strategist behaviors.
Right. You've also gotten into some, it's gotten you into some public beef.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. You should try it, by the way. It does great things for the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
And for the Patreon.
Oh, God. Yeah. But we have never on purpose in the sense of like, we wanted beef. We've just had something to say. I think for me and Tom, we spent COVID and on the Dream SP, so with the Dream SP audience during COVID, mm-hmm. and it definitely felt like you have to run everything you wanted to say through like this internal censor, because cancel culture was like its fucking peak, and like it felt like you could just fucking utter a word wrong and it would be like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I think both of us have had a lot of things that have sort of simmered over the last sort of 4 or 5 years that we've wanted to say and finally like can say, mm-hmm. and like we're not going to get in shit, like we can just say it, and like the worst thing is the other person go, fucking pissed off, and like we just go, okay, cool, like, you know, we've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I suppose we have very little. Well, we have views to gain, but like, that isn't even the thinking. It's not like we're doing it for that. It's mm-hmm. just, it's like pure just like catharsis of saying things.
Yeah.
And then like if it does well, it's like a fucking welcome bonus.
Yeah.
That's been the reason for that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's so it's felt freeing to be a little messy.
Yeah, online. For sure. Yeah. I've loved it. I think Tom has as well. I think both of us have really enjoyed the sort of ability to sort of speak our minds a little more.
Yeah. You guys are like podcast bros for lesbians.
Yeah. I'd say that feels very accurate. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Lesbians and sort of non-binary people, I think.
Yeah.
I think non-binary people fuck with us. Yeah. And we fuck with them. Can I just say that?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Thank you.
I'll let you.
I appreciate that.
All your non-binary fans and Dakota, allow
who could be? I never checked.
Right. Oh my gosh, I got Tom on a derp roll last night.
A derp roll.
I did like one kind of like derpy joke. You know,
sure.
Like the kind of thing that I did earlier with Steve Jobs, where I was like, ooh, Steve, that's gonna hurt.
Sure.
You know, I did something like that, and then like, you know, you hit a little derp face, like a
You meep a little bit.
One of those, yeah, you meep, you merp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the entire night, for like an hour, Tom just kept like pointing at things and trying to like find other things to like make derp jokes about. And like I just had to pity laugh my way through the entire thing.
Damn.
Because he was
pity laugh as well. You admitted it. He might see this. He won't.
And he knows. And he knows that he made my evening miserable.
Damn.
Because there's a dog there. You know, Steph has a dog named Muffin.
I'm familiar with Muffin,
and so we kept being like, Muffin. Curious name for a dog.
Looking like, bad boy Halo over here.
Yeah. He'd be like, Muffin, I'm just playing.
These are good.
They're good, but
they
then,
work for me.
But they're good, but you get about 12 in.
Sure. And, yeah, I think eventually I'd be like, oh my God.
And you're still derping, and he's like, Koi, what's your name? Like a fish? Yeah, see, exactly, nothing.
You saw, that's just an observation that he did a little face with, you know, okay.
It really became that. Back on the topic of internet beef, is there anyone who you'd like to beef with that...
I suggested that I would box Jack Doherty if he was up for it. You know that twat who crashed the McLaren? Goes around with a security guard all the time.
Jack
Doherty.
I know the name. What's he do?
I don't fully... I think just be a bellend, sort of publicly.
He just like shows up places and is kind of loud?
You're asking me to. I've just seen him be a bit of a twat online enough times. I've never paid attention to what he does. I don't know what he, you know, I don't know what he's aiming for. I've just seen him be a bellend and be like, wait, I'd hit that guy.
No, this is the mindset though. Is like don't learn anything about them. Just immediate escalation to physical violence.
Yep. Yeah. So I've called you out on our podcast. I'll call you out here. I'll happily fight you if you're up for it.
Wow.
In a boxing ring, not just like in the streets. I'd rather not get in a... You have a bodyguard all the time who I'm sure you would just call in like a pussy, so I won't be fighting you in the street. But in a ring where your bodyguard can't get involved, that's my sort of arena.
And I'll fight your bodyguard.
I don't think you could take him.
Really?
Yeah, he's
like in a weight class below me, or what do you mean?
It's all good. It's fine.
Okay. I'm fine if we just move on then.
Cool.
But yeah, I will be fighting. I think I want to fight someone this year. Even if it's just, I want to fight someone with like...
In the streets or like in a boxing match?
I think via like I think indirectly on my Instagram story.
Similar to how me and Tom have been doing it. Yeah, I did one boxing match and then went to sort of twitter.com and podcast call outs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I get it, man. I get it. It's easier.
We used to go to war.
Less training, you know?
We used to go to war.
Not us.
No, but our ancestors fought for us to fight on Twitter.
They did. If it weren't for them, we'd be fighting on Twitter in German, you know?
True.
That's how you gotta see it.
And yeah, and that can't be happening. Okay, so you have a girlfriend.
I do. She's just upstairs.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you. Lovely. I'm glad you think so. Oh, I do as well.
I mean, like, I watched her in middle school.
Actually. Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had a friend that was super... Because she does, like, true crime videos. She does. Yeah. But yeah, I had a friend who was super into her when I was in middle school. So I watched a few videos, learned about some murderers, kept me up at night. It was really great.
Yeah.
So my question is... It must be hard to be in a happy relationship with a woman in 2025. That's not really something... Do you feel bad about that?
Well, just being straight?
Yeah, well, yeah, being straight and being happy. Because having both in such a new age is kind of... It's a little...
What?
It just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Do you think it's problematic?
I don't want to be the judge of that, but I feel like some people could consider it, yeah.
I mean, look, I guess it doesn't cross my mind. I'm happy and, you know, I'm straight. And goddamn it, I'm proud.
Yeah.
I don't have the flag on me right now. It's in the other room, but, you know.
The straight pride flag?
Yeah, I borrowed John A's.
Right. What is that? Is that just like black and white stripes?
You know it as well. That's what got me more. You actually know it. I mean, I just proved that I know it. But
well, how did you and your girlfriend meet?
We met at a mutual friend's party, birthday party.
And you guys have been together for
2.5 years. Get on for 3.
Wow. How's that been? Long-term relationship.
Yeah. It's great. I love it. I'm having a great time.
Okay, I'm bored.
Damn, bro.
I just don't... Yeah, I don't want to hear any more about...
One day you'll be happy too, I think.
Mm.
Maybe not in a straight relationship, but I'm sure one day you'll go to Green Door and find the one.
I think the path to happiness is a straight relationship for me.
Do you think...
That's what I've been told.
You do... You are from the part of America where you probably have a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Let's dive into that.
Did you ever consider conversion therapy?
Conversion camp or whatever. No, but I was given one too many pamphlets.
I just you're from that sort of territory where I was like, I can imagine that was a real struggle.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, my version of conversion therapy was I just would get like I would have like a wife and kids in Animal Jam.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
You know?
Was there a period of your life where you tried being straight?
Oh, yeah.
How did that go for you?
I can pull.
Can you?
Yeah.
I believe that, actually.
Oh, absolutely. I do believe that. Well, I mean, like, ever since I was a little kid, they're like, oh, he's such a ladies' man. It's like, no, he is a lady man.
Sure. It's an easy mistake to make. I get that. It's weird, because I was mistaken for being gay. You know, in school, I was profusely bullied for a year for being gay.
Yeah, that is weird.
Which is definitely confusing when you're not gay. It's a weird one to navigate. I mean, I imagine it sucks if you're gay, but it was definitely... I know plenty of people that were bullied for being gay. I don't know anyone who ended up being straight. So I'm sort of a unique circumstance.
Wow. Maybe it's all projection when it comes down to it.
Yeah, there was probably some freaking gay guy who was bullying me.
You can say it.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even want to.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to. It would make me feel bad, I think. Can you imagine if I had? What would you do with that? Like, if I had in that moment, would you have left it in? Like, what would you have done?
Because
we both knew you were joking, but what if I just missed the mark? I was like, cool, he means it.
I think I'd go, all right, thank you so much.
You'd just end it here?
And then I'd end it. And it'd be
Fez.
And it'd be a great clip.
It would be a big clip. I don't know if it'd be a great clip for me, but.
No, but that's not what we're here for.
I told this you is, my great about... slip up.
You what?
I made a slip. I told you last night. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you tried to say.
No, you can say, well, I think you can retell us. You know.
I don't remember the
words. I was talking about Fitz and Swagger Souls, but I flipped the letters by accident.
And Fagger Souls.
I did by accident, like full mistake, and then went, oh my God. I really panicked.
And you got like a rush. You were like, that felt good.
No. I got a rush of like, oh, fuck, I've like fucked up. Luckily, it wasn't like on street. It was just like with like friends, but I definitely felt a lot of guilt.
If that would have happened, if that would have happened in 2020.
Even telling that story now, I would have been done for.
The course of your life would have changed drastically.
Oh God, yeah, that would have been it for me. I only just feel comfortable enough admitting that mistake now.
Yeah, I sneezed in 2021, and someone's grandma died of COVID. I had to take 3 months off. Is there anything you want to do outside of comedy, outside of content?
Yeah, I love film, and would love to make at least a short film, potentially more one day. I love directing. That would be my big thing, or at least I think I do. From what I understand of the little bits I've done that like sort of constitute directing, I really enjoy that part of it. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to do that one day, and I sort of am slowly sort of working out the best way to go about that. I like trying to keep enough time to be able to try things as they come about.
Mm-hmm.
For years now, I've wanted to build an arcade machine.
Oh, wow. Okay. Which one? Or just any?
I was gonna make an emulator that emulates arcade games and put it in an actual cabinet. It's quite easy to do. I made the emulator. I just then didn't build the cabinet.
Right.
But one day I'm gonna buy all the stuff and do it. I need to learn to not feel like things are a waste if I want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're not strictly work. But one of the solutions I've came up with is just trying to turn things into work, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I do the same thing. To be honest, whenever I need something done and I don't really like want to do it or want to have to find the time, it can feel like double productive.
Yeah, that really does help. But yeah, part of me does want to start just doing things for me for the sake of doing them. So I think maybe I'll be strong on this one.
No, you don't mean that.
Maybe not. Maybe I owe everything to my fans, man. So I should do everything for them. I breathe for them, man.
They made you.
They did. They did. Without them, I'd be nothing. I'd be a fucking speck.
Can you say you love them?
I can. I love my fans, man. I love them so much. I owe them everything, you know. If I could meet every fan and give them a big hug, I would. Did I start this episode by saying I hate my fans? I hate when they show up to places I go to.
I believe so. But you've had
what a change of heart, man.
You've had some good character development.
I've had a full arc. Yeah. I've had like a full... This is a very neat episode. Very nice and well-written.
Jack Manifold has a change of heart. That's... Yep. I was just... Title brainstorming. I mean, yeah. You can let me know because I know you're like a strategist and everything.
I'll have to see the thumbnail next to it and sort of work that out. But yeah, okay. I think maybe that could work, yeah.
So an arcade machine, maybe directing a film.
Yeah, yeah. Would be my two. There's loads I'll probably end up
trying.
You can
make a YouTube video about making a short film about putting together an arcade machine.
Exactly. You see, this is how I could do it. I'd love to voice act a little bit. I mean, I've done bits of voice acting, but I'd love to do it more... Slightly more professionally. I've been like, what? I did Garden of Banban 6.
Oh, I know.
Garden of Banban?
Yeah.
That was what I voiced a character in Garden of Banban 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
What character?
The Armless Jester. I had 3 lines.
Wow.
Yep. I just did a little bit yesterday, and I've done a few videos for Parasynical. He has a lot of animated segments, so I've done a bit of voice work for those. And like, don't be wrong, they've always just been like unpaid, just like favors. But I really would like to. I enjoy it. I love doing silly little voices, so I'd love to do a little bit more of that. Maybe it's work.
I'm trying to imagine your voice on an animated character and thinking of like the archetype.
Well, I do lots of voices. I'm one of those.
Oh,
I do all the voices.
Okay, so it's not just your voice.
No,
it's
actually usually not my voice at all. I think it's been maybe once, but like Garden of Banban. I think I have the take somewhere. I can play it for you. Hang on.
I think that feels dishonest.
What do you mean?
To alter your voice and pretend. I don't do. Go I don't.
Ahead. That's not. This is the one they used in Book Got a Bam Bam.
Go ahead. Press the thing.
That was the one they did. But I did several. I did several takes. That wasn't even my favorite one. I did one that was a little bit more American, and I preferred that. But I guess they wanted it to sound a little bit like me.
Right.
But I did. I did this one. I did. But I really like that one because it sounds
really
nothing
good.
Like me.
That's really good.
But they didn't want it. I suppose if you want someone to cameo, you probably do want them to be at least a bit recognizable, which is reasonable. So yeah. They didn't do the one where I sound nothing like me.
So I often ask my guests a question of advice. I try to take as much from them as I can before I leave.
Yeah.
Dating life, not going great for me.
Well, I know. You should have maybe pursued the Green Door Man more. I know you said you liked that he bought you a drink and walked off, but you could have.
Can I tell you something about the Green Door Man?
Sure.
When we went out to the smoking area, right? And I went out there because I didn't know where all my friends went. I went out there. They're talking to the Green Door Man.
Wow.
They're calling him Coy. And they're like, oh, this is literally like the Coy of their friend group. And so these two friend groups have met. My friend group and their friend group have met. And they're freaking out because we're both wearing a red t-shirt as well. And we're both like twinks with brown hair.
Sure. So,
and so they're like...
Is your type other twinks?
No.
Oh. Oh. Oh, yeah. I don't even know what you saw in this guy.
Well, he was like... What is your type? He was twinkish. What is my type?
Yeah.
Mm.
I know the words, by the way. I know the diagram.
Okay.
You can use them.
I will say my type is like a nerdy guy. Who would like imagine a movie where it like starts with a nerdy guy who has like these like brown framed glasses on, and by the end of it he like learns how to be confident in himself, and he doesn't have the glasses anymore, and also suddenly he was the whole time underneath his like sweater he was like built.
Sure.
So like a nerd that's like also like hot.
Yeah. I think I call those herds. I think.
No.
Ah, never mind. Tried.
It's a group of gay people, though. It's called a herd because it's a bunch of sheep.
What did they... Was there anything to that?
No.
Just tried.
I just wanted to make something out of whatever you did.
That was all right. Yeah. You tried.
Okay, anyway. Then me and this guy, right? Both wearing red shirts. And so they're like, oh, you guys are just like each other.
Yeah.
And they could also sense that there was like something between us. And so then they were making jokes about how like some gay people go for people that look like them.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Famously.
I'm not really the one to do that very often, if at all. And so that was kind of like, that kind of like deterred me away, I think. Because then also once you have your entire friend group, like they're, eyes are locked on either sides of like, oh, what's gonna happen between the two of them?
That is off-putting.
Well, okay, we did dance together.
Ooh,
we did kiss.
Oh,
so I. Oh, so you... did I get with him? Yeah, but like, it wasn't anything other than.
Yeah, a little kiss.
Other than like, he gave me a drink, I gave him a kiss.
You said there was no commitment, there was no strings attached, but you literally lips this guy. You lied earlier in the podcast is what you did.
I withheld some information.
You did. You lipsed the guy. That is the payment for the drink.
Yeah. Well, but that was like hours later. Maybe an hour or two.
Sure, but I think that guy just understands the concept of investing.
I think you're right. I think he actually got me because I was like, that guy, he bought me a drink and then he ran off.
Yeah, I think he maybe did that on purpose. I don't know. Stop falling for such simple tricks would be one bit of advice.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, where would you find nerdy yet attractive guys? I don't know. Where do they knock about?
The problem is they always have their headphones on.
How do I get past that? Bump into them? Yeah, like...
Oh, no. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of papers and it's all sheet music and I don't even play an instrument.
Maybe that's the way to do it. I think you got to get their attention somehow.
Yeah, okay.
Or you stop them and do a TikTok, you grab this thing and you go, what song are you listening to?
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Hit them with a TikTok straight interview.
Wait, that's really sweet. And that's a sweet story. And then you have it on camera, how you met on camera forever.
Yeah, I TikTok straight interviewed them. I'm sure that'll really, that's the modern day. That's modern day love.
Oh.
That's what that is.
Wow. Well, it is hard because whenever I'm like first meeting a guy, it's like, what do you do? And eventually you got lucky, you got into a relationship before you started a podcast.
True.
Because now I have to be like,
I have a podcast. That's rough.
Yeah. And then the rest of the conversation is shouted because they're running.
People, yeah, the podcast, it really does put people off these days. Joe Rogan really ruined the good name of podcasts.
Yeah, and everyone else, I think.
Yeah. I think we're the only good guys doing podcasts.
How do you keep going in your relationship after 2.5 years? Other than, like, you know, just obviously you love.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that one. That was the big one, really. I know, it feels quite natural.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, obviously, like, any relationship is, like, work. I don't feel like I have to be like, oh. I think when you say you have to keep going, I'm like, no, I just want to. I love my girlfriend. At this point, like, life would be weird without her. Like, I don't know. It's, we're very, like, I don't know, we're just sort of a unit now.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with time. And with time, that becomes more natural. You know, when you learn more about each other, I think it gets easier with time mm-hmm. rather than harder, to be honest. You know, obviously everyone always talks about the honeymoon phase.
Right.
And then, you know, that eventually, like, subsides. But then that's when you start working out whether this person's really for you. Like, if you can work through that and, like, sort of, like, actually become a solid unit.
Yeah.
Then I think from there, you're sort of sorted. At least that's my experience so far. I'm just in love, bro. It's very nice. I hope you'll find it one day.
I think I did last night.
You did a lot of 180s on this guy, you know? Like, if I was this guy, I think you'd be putting me off. I cannot tell how you feel about this guy. You gonna be thinking about him for a while? When are you going home? You're going home soon, right?
April 9th.
Damn. You gonna be thinking about him.
Yeah. I'm probably.
You got his number or anything?
Yeah.
Maybe you can, I don't know, send him a picture of your wood on the plane.
I should be in airplane mode. So that's not something to joke about.
Well,
that was what was wrong with that joke.
That was the problem. I don't do pictures of my willy, so I don't really know if that would be appropriate there. It's not something I engage in. Apart from on Be Real that time. I didn't mean to. That was an accidental willy picture.
Yeah, you posted your
Dingling.
Yeah, to everyone on your Be Real.
Yeah.
But hey, they wanted you to be real.
It worked. Ellie was on there.
This
is genuinely, I don't know if I've ever told this. The icebreaker was because I'd added Ellie on B-Roll. We'd never met before.
Uh-huh.
I'll be completely transparent. She showed up as a suggested friend. I'd accidentally sent the friend request. Right. And I was like, shit, I don't actually know this girl. But she accepted it. And we had mutual friends. I was like, okay, cool. She's on the B-Roll. But then I posted the picture. And like, she was the first person that crossed my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know this girl. I added her like 2 days ago. And now there's a picture of my wood on there. Like, that's bad. Anyway, as you know, I delete the picture. I sort it. And then when I get to this party, I'm with some of my friends. I go, oh shit, that's that girl that she, I'm like, I hope she didn't see it. Yeah. My friends went, all right, we'll go find out. So they dragged me over and were like, do you see his willy on Be Real? She was like, no, but that it was an icebreaker.
Wow.
So actually, if I hadn't done that, we may never have been together.
That's romantic.
That is. If I never posted a picture of my willy on Be Real, I don't think, well, we probably would.
That's the story of how you met.
I actually not completely
just, not just a mutual friend story. You gotta start including
those. I actually should, because I always forget that was the icebreaker.
I would probably try to forget that as well. Yeah. Any future plans, future goals?
Generally,
yeah.
Just keeping it broad. Now.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
I've been off my main channel for a year and a bit now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got sort of plans to start bringing that back. You know, I'll say it here because I've not said it anywhere else. I was gonna bring it back in March, but then I remembered I was going on tour soon. I thought, actually, it's a very silly time to sort mm-hmm. of try and bring something back. So that is delayed until I'm back off of tour. But at least I have a good idea of what I sort of want to do there. So I'm quite excited for that. That's probably my most soon sort of like big thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know, man. Wherever the wind takes me.
Anyway, do you have? I have a playlist that everyone gets to add a song to.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that's on the top of your mind, or one that really speaks to you that you would like to suggest? What's
in it as of yet? I have one, but I feel like it might.
It's just everyone's song recommendations. I've got to get my phone so I can see what's recent.
This is basic as fuck, but I've just been really enjoying this song. I like sort of refound it recently. I've been really enjoying it. Someday by The Strokes. As basic as it is, great song.
That's great.
And if it's not in the playlist already, it should be added.
It's not in the playlist cool. already.
It should be added. That would be my sort of off the top of my head.
I'm going to add LDN by Lily Allen.
Oh, do you get to add one as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I add one every week.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a great playlist. I might have to listen to this playlist.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jack, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm going to leave your house now.
All right. on you go. Onward. Into the world. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.